Well, let's pray again then to start our service, and welcome to Pocomoke River Church 2021. Let's pray. Father, we just give you praise and glory. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for a new year and fresh beginnings. Thank you that there's not a thing that happens this year that surprises you and that makes you scratch your head and say, what do I do now? But everything is under your control, and you have the answers to every need we have in life. And we give you honor and we give you glory and praise for that. And as we are together tonight and as we go forth from here, I pray that your spirit would lead us and direct us, give us wisdom and discernment, give us health, give us strength, give us prosperity through the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, may you be honored and glorified, and may we be changed more into your likeness because we were together and worshiped you. I thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, children, let's do a children's story.
So,
this is January 3rd. And on January 1st, what happened?
Happy New Year
happened. Yes. We threw out our old calendars that said 2020, and we picked up new calendars that say 2021. And so it's like it's a whole fresh new year. And that's like a whole fresh new start. At midnight on January 1st, nothing had happened this year yet when that moment changed from 2020 to 2021. And everything was new and fresh, and we could start over. Lots of people make what they call New Year's resolutions. You know what that is?
It's a goal you set for yourself for the new year?
Yes, it's I'm going to change some things about me or about my life or my situation this year. I'm going to do some things differently. And we get a fresh start. All of you like to play games, right?
Yeah.
And when you play games, I'm thinking about, like, let's just choose a game, a board game. Let's choose the game of, do you like playing the game of life?
Yeah.
Do you all know what that game is?
Yeah.
And you played it? Or how about the game of Monopoly or Parcheesi? We're sorry.
We know sorry,
right?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's use the game of sorry as an example. In the game of sorry, there are rules, and you have to follow the rules. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you wish you didn't have to follow the rules. And you pull a card, and it tells you to do something that is going to make you go backwards in the game instead of forwards in the game. And then you say, I want to pull another card. I want a second chance. I want to do this over again. Is that okay to pull a different card and do things, have a second chance?
Yeah, it could be if you wanted to.
Could be? How could it be? The rules say you pull the card and you do what the card says.
Yeah, and then you can't have a second chance.
And you don't get a second chance, do you? Yeah. Oh. It's that way when you play baseball out in the yard and you swing and you got your third strike and you struck out. Oh, give me one more chance. Just throw me one more ball. And you don't get to do that last swing over again, do you? And if you get tagged out at home plate, you don't say, oh, let me go back to third and hit the ball again, and then let me run home and see if I can make it this time. You just don't get second chances, do you? No, and that's the way it is in life. When we live life, if we do something, there are consequences to what those actions are. For instance, maybe you're helping mom in the kitchen and she's cooking supper and you're standing there beside the stove and you wonder what's in this pot and you reach over and you put your hand on the pot and your hand gets burned. What do you do?
Pull your hand away.
You pull your hand away and you cry or you scream. You say, ouch. And then you say, I want to do that over again. I want the hurt to go away. And this time I won't touch the pot and then I won't be burned. Does that work? No, it doesn't work, does it? Your hand is still burned. Now, you may never touch another hot pot again because you're very careful and you learned, but that time you can't undo what you've done. And that's just life. That's the way life is. And we have one example in life that is different than that. And that is that God said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can do things over with God. We can get a fresh start with God through forgiveness. We still sinned. It was still wrong for us to do it. And he doesn't say it's okay for us to do it again. But he's saying this time, the blood of Jesus is paying for your sin. And I'm cleansing you. I'm separating you from your sin as far as the east is from the west. And that's far. And it never gets connected to us again. It's just as if I had never sinned. That's being justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. And that's what God offers us through forgiveness. So we don't get second chances in life when we break an arm or when we burn our hand or when we cheat in a game. But with God, when we have sinned, he will forgive us. And then it's just like we never sinned. And so because God forgives us, we can forgive each other too and give each other second chances. Doesn't mean it's okay what we did. Just means I love you more than what you did wrong to me. So we can thank God that he is a God of second chances. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your faithfulness, your kindness, your generosity. All you give us in Christ Jesus our Lord, for the forgiveness that you offer because of his blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. And Father, I pray for these children that they will live in right relationship with you every day of their lives. And if something comes between you and them, they will quickly confess it so that their sins can be forgiven and they can have that relationship with you. Open and pure and clear. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. There we go. Got somebody connected. So. We have someone else connecting, so I'm going to just give them a minute to get here before I start the message. Welcome, everyone. We are happy to see everybody that is able to connect on Zoom and trust you can hear clearly. Please let us know if you can't.
Yeah, they are.
And yep, welcome. Glad to see you made it. Thanks for persevering. We thought it would be good tonight, since so many of us traveled out of state this last week, to just meet via Zoom and err on the side of caution. And so, connecting to audio again. And so that's why we're on Zoom tonight, so that we err on the side of caution in terms of COVID. Well, this is the beginning of a new year, and a time that we think of starting fresh and starting over. And wouldn't it be nice to go back and undo all the mistakes we've made in life and do it right this time? I've heard people say, I wish I could live my life over again, or I wish I could be 20 again and do it right this time. Well, I don't know that you'd do any better going back to 20 and starting over, because you'd be 20 again and you wouldn't have all those life experiences you've had between 20 and now to have learned from. And so wishful thinking probably isn't the most beneficial thinking or the most effective way to live our lives. But I'd like us to think about new years and new beginnings and what God has to say on the subject of fresh starts. And I'd start with Isaiah 43, beginning at verse 16. So if you're wanting to follow along, I'm in the NIV, and it's Isaiah 43, verse 16 and following. And it says, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Now let's understand what that's talking about. God had a plan to make a people that would be his, that would love him, that would serve him, that would honor him, and that he would be their king and they would be his people. And so he called Abraham to go, and God promised to make him a father of many nations. And we have the story of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph. And during the life of Joseph, Israel, which was not yet a country, but Abraham's descendants, moved to Egypt, and there they became slaves to Pharaoh. And after 400 years of being slaves, they were crying out to God for deliverance, and God raised up Moses to be their deliverer, to lead them out of Egypt. And so when they left Egypt, God led them to the shores of the Red Sea. And there, I just envision they had been slaves all their lives. And so here they were, they'd gone to the beach, and they got to the beach, and I'm sure they just enjoyed frolicking in the water, enjoying the sunshine, soaking up the rays, and just life was wonderful. Didn't have to work and labor and make bricks anymore. And they're there, they know they're where God led them, and they hear a rolling, rumbling noise far away. And they're looking in the sky, I'm envisioning, looking for thunder and rain clouds, and there are none. But this thundering sound gets louder and louder and louder, and then they see the dust cloud, and then somebody says, it's Pharaoh's army. And so here they were at the shores of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is coming from the other side. So they're caught literally between the devil and the deep blue sea. They've got no place to run, no place to hide. And God, you got us into this mess. And yeah, can you kind of identify with life in that way sometimes? That we think we've been doing what God wanted us to do, or maybe we haven't been doing what God wanted us to do, but here we are in a pickle. Here we are trapped in a place where there appears to be no escape. And And they cried out to God, which is a natural thing to do. And so Moses cried out to God, because the people actually were crying out to Moses because he was God's representative among them. And Moses was crying out to God on behalf of the people, what do I do? And Moses was wise enough to be able to tell the people, be still and see what God will do, which is good counsel for us when we find ourselves in a difficult place. Let's just watch and see what God will do. Let's call out to him. Let's ask him for direction and for deliverance, and then we wait and see. And so this first couple verses is talking about that experience of being trapped between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. And so if you remember the story, or in case you don't, Moses, God told Moses to stand on this rock that overlooked the Red Sea and stretch out his arm with the rod in it that God had made signs and wonders come through, and hold it out over the water and watch what God would do. And as Moses did that, for the whole night, God sent a strong wind. And in the morning, when the people got up, they looked, and there in the middle of the Red Sea was a dry path with water standing up on both sides of it. And Moses said, let's go. And so the whole Israelite people with their flocks and their herds went through the Red Sea on dry ground. And as they went through, Pharaoh's army was there watching them and came on the scene as they were leaving. And they said, well, let's go get them. And so as Pharaoh's army went into the Red Sea, again, on this dry path that God had made for Israel to get through, to escape them, as the army was in the middle of the sea and completely there, Moses stretched out his rod again and the wind stopped and the waters came crashing down on the Egyptian army and drowned the soldiers and destroyed the horses and the chariots, and the whole army was destroyed. And in a single day, the enemy of God's people was destroyed, and they were set free, and they had their freedom. And that's the backdrop to this passage that we're reading here tonight. And I believe that that's the plan God has for each one of us. We find ourselves in difficult times. We find ourselves caught between, quite literally or figuratively, the devil and the deep blue sea. And we say, how can we get out of this? What's the solution to this situation that I find myself in? And we need to see God's plan. What does he have for us? And so here's God's word on how to proceed from that situation. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Okay. So forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. You know, it's not easy to forget our mistakes and to forget our sins and our failures, to forget the hurts that we've experienced in life, the disappointment, all the big D's in life, despair, despondency, abandonment. That's not a D, but that's a big one. And as long as we are looking at those things, as we're looking at the past, if I'm looking behind me all the time and I'm dwelling on the former things, if I'm dwelling on what's behind, I can't possibly see what's in front of me. And if, did you ever try to drive down the road with your head turned around looking in the back seat? It isn't long until your car is pointed in the direction that your head is turned. If you've turned to your right to look over your right shoulder to the back seat, your car is going to swerve to the right side. And if you've turned your head to the left, your car is going to naturally go to the left side. And either way, you're either going to be in a ditch or you're going to be in a head-on collision. And you can't possibly navigate life looking behind you. When we're focused on the past, we can't possibly see the future that God has for us. And that future is to give us hope and to prosper us. And so we've got to forget the former things and let them go. They're done, they're past, that's history. But how do we do that? How can we do that? Well, God says this. He said, see, I'm doing a new thing. And new things are exciting. Here we have the beginning of a new year. We have fresh opportunities. We have no failures this year, hopefully yet. And we've got a great future to look forward to because God's with us and he's providing for us. And so we need to be looking ahead. We need to be seeing it. And so here he says, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not have a clue? I'm doing a new thing here. And get on board with me. That's what I hear God saying through this passage. And then he says this, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. So God is making a way in the wilderness. What is life like for you right now? Do you seem like you're in a wilderness? Do you seem like you're in a dry place? Do you seem like you've got issues and stuff that's weighing on you and concerns and maybe fears? Well, God says, I'm doing a new thing and I'm preparing a way in this wilderness through this hard time. And that's exciting for us. That's good news. That's what the gospel is. The gospel literally means good news. And so God has good news for us. And the good news is that it's not going to be the way it's always been. So let go of the past and don't get hung up on it. And the reason we can let go of the past is this. I'm gonna read some verses from Psalm 103, and I'm gonna start at verse 6. And this is an awesome passage. You could read the whole passage, but this is how God allows us to let go of the past. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. God did. He made his ways known to Moses when he stood up there at the shores of the Red Sea and held out his arm and his rod and watched God open that sea up. And the Israelites saw his deeds when they walked through on dry ground, and the enemy, when it chased them, was destroyed. By the very thing that gave Israel deliverance, destruction was sent on the enemy. That's exciting. The way God delivers us is the way he uses to destroy our enemy. And we can trust that. It's happened in history, and God continues to do what he's always done. And I think that's exciting. And then if we were to study God's faithfulness to Israel throughout the wilderness wanderings, we would see again and again and again how God made a way for them in the wilderness, how he provided their needs for them. They didn't work for anything. They received everything from God's hand for his provision in their life and their victory. So we go on. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Did you hear that? God does not repay us as our, he does not treat us as our sins deserve, and he does not repay us according to our iniquities. Just imagine the fix we would be in if God did give us what we deserved. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. And if God gave us death for sin, none of us would be here. We'd all be dead. But then he goes on. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, let me use a little word in place of that big word, transgressions. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. It's the same word, just different word, same meaning. But as far as the east is from the west, that's an awesome statement. If he just said as far as the north is from the south, when we got to the North Pole, everything is south. There's no more north. We are north. And then our sins would have met us again. But and if we went to the South Pole, the same thing. From there, everything is north. So our sins would meet us at some point in the future if we continued north until we got to the North Pole. But when he said as far as the east is from the west, you can go east around this globe for eternity. And so long as you don't turn around, you're still going east. The only way to go west is to turn around. That's to look back. That's to remember the former things. The only way to get reconnected with our sin once we're forgiven is to remember the former things, to look back. And that's where we started saying, forget the former things. They're gone. They're as far from you as the east is from the west. They're not in front of you. They're behind you. Just leave them there. Don't go digging in your past. That's not good. Your past is dead. And when you start digging in dead things, that gets messy and stinky, and it's just best to leave that lie. And that's what God's telling us to do. Keep heading east or keep heading west. Doesn't matter which direction. It doesn't meet the other one unless you turn around and go back to what you had been. And so that's exciting. God sets us free from the mistakes of our past. In the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 14, we read this in New Testament language. And it's a little different language because Jesus has been here. But I'll give you a clue, it's the same message. And here we go from 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Okay, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we were all dead in our sins, but then Jesus died for us and offers us life. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So when we experience a second birth, when we experience new life in Christ, this new life is to be lived for him, for his glory. And we receive incredible joy and fulfillment and satisfaction when we're living our lives for God. When we're living on our own for our own purposes, we fail, we make a mess of things. But when we say, Lord, I'm yours, I want to honor and please you, then we can experience joy. We can experience fulfillment and satisfaction. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Other translations will say, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. And that means they've been changed. That means they've been resurrected to spiritual life in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. The old has gone, the new is here. So that past that we're to let go of, it's gone because of what Jesus did for us. And the new is here. We have a fresh start. In golf, they have mulligans. And Jeremy's a golfer, Jeff's a golfer. Some of you may be golfers, and I'm not. But I know what a mulligan is. A mulligan is something that you can buy in a golf tournament that allows you to do a shot over again. Now, the rules of golf don't allow for mulligans, but friends give each other mulligans at times. They allow do-overs. And it's like you made a bad shot, and so instead of counting that shot, you turn in this paper that gives you a do-over, a mulligan. And you know, life doesn't give us mulligans, but God does. God gives us second chances as we experience his grace and his forgiveness. So if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creature, they're a new creation, and the old has gone, the new is here. Wow. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, let's talk about being reconciled. That's being reconciled or reconnected. And if we're new in Christ, we're reconnected with God. And we're reconnected with each other as we extend and experience grace and forgiveness to each other and continue in our relationship. And so all of this is God's work, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Wow, isn't that awesome? God doesn't count our sins against us when we've been reconciled to him through Christ. And once we've been reconciled to God through Christ, now we've been called to go be the reconciler for others to God. Our job is to tell other people how awesome it is to be reconnected with God, and to tell them how easy it is for them to become reconnected with God. That's giving us the message of reconciliation. And then the last verse, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Do you know what an ambassador is? In our country, we have ambassadors to other countries. And an ambassador is an extension of the President of the United States. So when we have an ambassador to Great Britain or to France or to Spain or to Russia, that person represents the president who sits in the White House at that time. And it's as though the president himself were there and speaking when that ambassador speaks. And that's what we are. We are personal representatives of God. And when we speak, we're speaking on God's behalf. Now, if an ambassador decides that he's going to speak what's on his mind instead of what's on the president's mind, he's not a good ambassador, and he's not going to be an ambassador very long. And that's the way it is with us. If we're going to be God's ambassadors, we need to speak God's word to people, not our own word, and not what we want to say, but what we hear God wanting to say to them. So we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. That's the key. That's the fresh start. That's the new thing that God's doing. That's the way to begin this year. You want to make a New Year's resolution? Make this one it. I will be reconciled to God. I will be his ambassador. I will allow him to do that new thing in my life, and I'll let go of what's behind. I'm not turning back. I'm not going to dwell on the past. I want to focus on what God has for me in 2021 and beyond, through eternity. That's the joy. That's the promise. And that's the good news. And we have that for ourselves and to share with everybody we meet. Let's do it. Let's be part of it. Let's live victoriously in 2021. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are doing a new thing and that it sprung up already. It's here. We're in a new year, but better yet, we can be in a new life. We can have a fresh start. We can let go of all the junk of the past, all the burdens, everything that's held us down, all of our disappointments, all of our regrets, all of our shame. It's gone in Christ Jesus because you have forgiven us and you've cleansed us from all unrighteousness. It's behind us. It's in the past. It's dead. It's gone. And our focus is on you and on the future and the hope and the joy that's set before us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts. Show us anything that comes between us and you, and give us a taste of how awesome it is to walk in right relationship with God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I'd like to give you a minute to, or a couple minutes, whatever time you need, if there's something you'd like to share with us, something God's done in the way of a testimony that you want to celebrate, or if there's a prayer concern that you have that we should know about and be praying about. Maybe I raised a question in your mind through the message that you want to have clarified. Is everybody muted or? I know some of us traveled to Ohio this last week and back, and I know I praise God for safety for us and his presence in our lives as we went, as we were there, and as we came home. My brother came in from Arizona to stay with Dad while we were gone, and God was gracious and granted him safety here and back, and thankful for that. Okay, well, I thank you for coming tonight, and I wish you God's blessing for an awesome week and for a wonderful 2021. I'm hoping we can be in the building together next week, and just keep an eye on your text messages. If your phone number has changed and I need a different number, I have a group text that I send out, and maybe I'll just send one and say, this is a test, please let me know you received it. And then if you would be kind enough to respond, I'll know that I have everybody's number correctly, because I certainly want to be able to get notices to you. Either meetings change, or maybe there's a prayer concern that we want everybody to know about and be praying about, or a praise report that we want to send during the week, whatever reason. So thanks for being with us tonight, and God bless you with an awesome week.
You too.
Thank you.